Good morning. Just want to greet you for this Saturday EMP, and that we're going to start with a video from the One app today, day 32 of Lent.
Today we're listening to Luke 15, and it starts with the story of the lost sheep, the 99 and the one that was lost. There was a story about a Vagra high priest in West Africa. The Vagra are a people group of about 60,000, and they were excited because they had a high priest who was a younger man, so that meant he was very powerful. But one day as he was in front of his hut, he went into a trance, and in this trance he was lost in the bush. Trying to find his way, he was afraid, scared, and he kept hearing a voice saying, "You're going the wrong way, come this way." But he didn't recognize the voice, so he wouldn't. Well, 3 days later, he was actually found by villagers in a different village, and he had actually really been lost. And they gave him something to eat, took him back to his village, and he was terrified because he realized now that the ancestral spirits were going to do to him whatever they wanted. And as he was walking through the village, under a tree were a group of people, Christians, that had gotten an audio Bible and were listening in Vagra. And he heard it, and it captured him because the voice that he heard was the voice that he had heard in the bush. And as he sat down, the story that he heard was the story of the 100 sheep and the one lost sheep. And it was that same voice. It was the voice of Jesus that had been calling to him. In that moment, he made a decision for Christ. The people in the were terrified because he was the religious high priest, and he was supposed to be this powerful guy. But immediately he made a conversion, went, got his idols, brought them, burned them. The traditional ones he gave back to the chief and elders. He was that one lost sheep, and God found him.
Okay, so we're going to read from the first set of passages, Luke 15, 1 to 32. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And he said, there was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of my property that is coming to me." And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his field to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, "Look, these many years I've served you. I've never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." Second passage is in Acts chapter 18, verses 1 to 17. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. And he went to see them. And because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with the word, testifying to the Jews that the Christ was Jesus. And when they opposed and reviled him, he shook out his garments and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." And he left there and went to the house of a man named Titius Justus, a worshiper of God. His house was next door to the synagogue. Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord, together with his entire household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized. And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, "Do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in this city who are my people." And he stayed a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. But when Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews made a united attack on Paul and brought him before the tribunal, saying, "This man is persuading people to worship God contrary to the law." But when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrongdoing or vicious crime, O Jews, I would have reason to accept your complaint. But since it is a matter of questions about words and names and your own law, see to it yourselves. I refuse to be a judge of these things." And he drove them from the tribunal, and they all seized Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him in front of the tribunal. But Gallio paid no attention to any of this. The devotion for this day's Lent reading says, "It seems that Paul was afraid, and God encouraged Paul, urging him to go on proclaiming the gospel boldly with these words, 'Do not be afraid, for I'm with you, and no one would lay a hand on you to harm you.' So Paul was greatly strengthened and staying in Corinth for a year and a half to teach the word. And in a place like Hong Kong, we could also be afraid to reach out to unbelievers with the message of hope and redemption that Jesus brings. Jesus says to us that he is with us always, and so we need not fear. Let us look to Jesus for strength and encouragement as we boldly proclaim the hope that his death and resurrection brings to the people in Hong Kong." Let's just gather together to pray for the city. Father, we pray for the entertainment businesses, and especially for Christians involved. May they be salt and light in a business which is often tempted to the darker side. Amen. Now, in today's devotional for my personal sharing, I wanted to share on the first passage of Luke, chapter 15, 1 through 32. Here, when we take a look at Luke chapter 15, we see that Jesus sets up this picture, and that even though there's a separation and a distance, a state of being lost, that he basically breaks every barrier in order to bring back that which was lost or whom which was lost together and to reconnect us. And through the parables, Jesus teaches us about really the ultimately incredible power of the love of Father God and his desire that we would be reunited with him. There's some things that we can know as we take a look at all of the parables that are quite interesting to remember, and that in each of the situations, whether it was the sheep or the coins or ultimately the brothers, it all comes from the same ownership or the same place of belonging. So we are all from the same Father. But for some, we don't realize how far we've gone and that there really is a loss and we have been distanced. And then to be able to see and picture the Father's pursuit of each of us that is lost is one with great compassion and diligence. This pursuit is unrelenting. And if you look in for the definition for unrelenting, it says not yielding in strength, severity, or determination, and never gives up. This is truly amazing love, an incredible grace and generosity. And that with every person that's found and comes back to the Father, that you know that there's this huge celebration that welcomes them home, that all of heaven rejoices along with the Father. And then can you imagine really what the audience is thinking as they're listening and hearing to these parables? What they would have come to understand about the very nature of God, that it's rooted in love. And to be able to know that there's a sense of belonging for those that are lost. To know that there's always been a place for them in relationship to the Father. And even in seeing the parables and seeing the obvious message that can come out of these things, I just wanted to ask the Lord if there was something to really share coming out of it that would really stand out for us this morning. And I thought that the video really helped to prompt me to be able to ask this question to all of us this morning. And I want to ask you, do you recognize the Lord's voice leading you? And has his voice become familiar to you? And this depends all on how well we're really listening. Here, we're talking about listening versus hearing. And to the Pharisees and scribes, they might have been there every chance they could to hear what Jesus would say, to teach, and to comment on. But then they weren't really truly listening. Not to listen to learn anyway. But ultimately to look for any evidence to bring against them, thinking he was going directly against the law and traditions of God and what was given the chosen people. And in fact, in verse 2, it says that they grumbled about how Jesus receives sinners and eats with them. And so just even imagining the posture that they carry is a grumbling. You know, imagining, you know, someone with their arms crossed, really kind of not ready to listen, but present, wanting to hear what's going to be said. Very opposite to that picture, we have a description when we read about the tax collectors and sinners. In verse 1, it says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And in many other translations, it reads that they were coming near to listen to him. It's a different approach altogether. There's an openness there to be able to really be curious, intrigued by what Jesus had to say. Now, when you think about relationships that we carry and have carried with others, listening to others takes a lot of practice. It doesn't happen automatically and overnight. And so often we think that we're listening to the other person, but find that we may not be. And I think just a classic example is just us growing up as kids. Growing up as kids, into teenagers. And how often, you know, could we remember back where one of our parents, probably most definitely the mother, because the mother's always the one kind of giving the directions and setting out what needs to be done. But it could be any other guardian that, you know, raised you. And they're telling you to do something that really is good for you and sometimes very important for you to understand and really listen to. But it just goes in one ear and out the other. It doesn't really register. And then more times than not, it's just because we think we know better. Sometimes just because of our age and we just don't know better, but we think, you know, that's fine, but we don't pay attention to it. And then later on, as we get older, we really do think that we know better. And we decide what we want to filter in and out. We hear the words, but it doesn't really do much to impact us. And I think back at how many times, and this is a lighter example, obviously, but how many times I would hear my mom in the kitchen saying, pay attention, she would draw me near, pay attention to whatever I'm cooking, you know, this dish or that dish, you know, because ultimately you'll need it later in life. And especially, I remember specifically, because it's so much more pertinent and would have been really useful at the time, for especially coming forward to now, is learning about how to, you know, in the Korean household, learning how to make kimchi. I remember very distinctly, she'd go through the process. It's quite laborious, but she'd go through and she'd say, pay attention. You're going to need this when you get married to make kimchi for your husband. You know, and I just think, yeah, okay. Saw it, I don't know how many times, standing there watching her, but never really paying attention. And then in the end, when I really, really needed it, then of course then my mom hears a call from me all the way in Hong Kong asking her, Oma, can you please help me to learn how to make kimchi? Because I really need it. And especially as you guys know, Sam really loves it. So it would have really come in handy. But But it's only when we really feel like we really want to listen do we really pay attention. So hearing versus listening depends really on the state and the posture of our heart, and in this case, towards God and man. The Pharisees and the scribes are constantly referred to by Jesus as having a cold and hardened hearts. The Pharisees didn't really want to hear Jesus to get closer to God because they already thought they were. They thought they were the closest to God as they were just able to keep the letter of the law. They're focused on the outward appearance, the works and duty in relation to God. But there was little concern or compassion to be found in anyone other than those in their own camp, and also the people that who felt like the letter of the law to be followed were the most important things. On the flip side, you see the tax collectors and sinners. They were demonstrating an attitude that was teachable. Again, open to listen and learn. Open to actually sharing their life and ultimately giving their life to follow Jesus wherever he called them to be led. The portrayal of Father God through the parable shows that consistency through Jesus, and that the way that he treated people and showed people that true compassion and invited them to be able to be a part of his life really caused people that wanted that change to be able to receive that change in their lives. They were encouraged to draw others just likewise as themselves, as one by one they came to the Lord, just like them, knowing that there really was something different and that their lives were going to be changed. Now, in looking at these parables, receiving Jesus as our Lord is just the start. It's just the start of understanding what it means to hear the voice of God and to become familiar with it. But to be able to recognize it as we go forward as believers, it comes down to having a continual posture of a repentant heart. Really, the understanding what the process of sanctification really looks like. Ultimately, becoming more like Christ. Are we willing to let the voice of our Lord lead us? It may start at one point in receiving the Lord, but it really takes a willingness to continually want to hear from him and to want to be able to listen to him, to be able to really get that voice to become familiar, familiar to us day to day, to be in a relationship that wants our lives to truly be changed more like Christ every day. It takes really wanting to know what he says continually in the Word of God and to meditate and study it, and to be able to continue to want to be changed, and also when we go in a direction that needs to be changed, to have that heart of repentance, to be willing to walk in literally the opposite direction, to have that mindset changed in us that is not of God, and to be able to take on more the mindset of Christ. So Jesus says throughout throughout the Gospels that he who has ears, let him hear. And from this sharing, to know that hearing is really more about allowing him to speak into our lives, to allow us to be changed, to desire for our mindsets and our actions to ultimately be turned to the ways of God. And so it reminds me also really about the passage from Ephesians 1:18, if I've referred to that, that I pray the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. And if I could just ask Thaddeus to come up and share his worship song this morning. So, Lord, we just want to come to you this morning once again and just pray, Lord, that, Lord, we would understand once again that this all has come about because of the love that you have for us, to remove every single barrier in order that we would really be connected once again, to not feel like your voice is unfamiliar or foreign, but to know, Father God, that we can know your voice is so close and so familiar, Lord God, and just really praying that you would just really cause our hearts to once again be so tender before you, open to learn and listen, even when it's hard, even when our pride says no. But Father God, that you would just really align us in all ways, Father God, with you. So we just thank you, and we just want to really ask you to continue, Lord Jesus, to have your way in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And from this, let's go ahead and look at the slides for a community prayer. Let's pray for those that are undergoing different treatments for cancer and they're dealing with the therapy and the surgeries. Let's continue to just remember all the people on the slide this morning. Let's take a look at the next slide and just pray for those that are dealing with other illness, and especially to pray for people on this list to receive salvation word, to be able to pray that even in the midst of the struggle of all these different illnesses, that they will come to see that their hope is truly found and only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray for that hope to rise up. Let's pray. Let's pray for those that are dealing with other different infirmities and struggling with their health. Let's just pray that God would just really send his comfort and hope in the midst of the struggles that some are just really dealing with day in and day out. We just pray that the peace of God would come and reside in their hearts, and to be able to look to him, to continue to pray for the healing, and to be able to be comforted by those around as well as the word of God. So just pray for them. Let's also lift up our brother and sister that are on this list, and anyone else that you know that are really seeking for the next stage in their work life. We pray for Dan Park and as well as Bonnie on the list, that they would be able to really find comfort and also encouragement as they really seek the Lord for the next steps. Let's lift them up. Let's pray for our mission focus over North Korea, just being open to different doors for ministry, for wisdom as we may partner in any way, mission opportunities and other partnerships that may come about relating to Korea, other partnerships in Asia, that we would have a lot of wisdom as a church to know which ones to be a part of. We know that there's so many opportunities, but ultimately which ones that God has desired for us to be a part of. And for the persecuted churches in the Middle East right now, with the growing tensions all around, or continued growing tensions as well. So we just pray for that. Let's pray for also the weekend gatherings and meetings happening over the weekend. We pray for Alpha. PMC, we just finished, so we had a really great 5 weeks with the couples. Pray for GIC and the prison outreach, drug rehab outreach, and the migrant workers outreach. Pray for Sunday services that are happening all throughout the day, and Noah's Ark, as well as worship and hospitality, the youth, Yahweh ministry, spin services and activities, and just different meetings that you're aware of. Today is also women's discipleship happening as well. If we could just pray and cover all those meetings. And we just pray for all the house churches taking place today, Fortress and House to House, Mawon and Southside, Tavistock and Westside. Let's just really pray the Holy Spirit will really move in that place to be with the house church leaders and to really stir the hearts of the people to draw closer to God and really be obedient to the ways that they're speaking to them individually and as house churches. Let's pray. And so, Lord, Father God, we just want to lift up again all of the areas of need for our community, Father God. We pray, Father, Lord, for those, Lord Jesus, that have been waiting upon you to be able to continue to receive answers for various needs, Father God. So desperate, Lord Jesus. Father God, to Lord Jesus, just desiring your presence to direct their lives in different meetings as well as personally. We just pray, God, that your just presence, oh God, Lord Jesus, will continue to encourage everyone that we prayed for, whether by name or by group, Father, Lord. And Lord Jesus, that we pray, Lord Father, that you would enable us and empower us by your Spirit to be able to, Lord, have the faith to believe, Father God, what you want to do, to know, Father God, even in the face of things that are impossible, that truly it is possible in you, Father, that you would stir up the faith of this house, the faith, Father God, of your people, to be able to believe for, Father God, and just really trust in the greater things that you desire. And Father God, that in the wait as well, Lord Jesus, to be able to, Lord God, grow in just absolute, Lord Father God, deeper love and intimacy with you, God, to know, Lord God, that this pursuit of us has always been, Father, Lord, in love and because of your love and desire for relationship, and that everything that we do, say, Father God, Lord Jesus, and act upon would truly, Lord Father God, be checked by the state of our hearts before you, to constantly be checked, Father God, by Lord Jesus, our attitudes, our willingness to, Father God, do all that we desire according to your ways, Father God, because of our love for you, as you have loved us first, that we will respond in gratitude and obedience. So just cover our whole community, Father God, today and throughout the weekend, and just praying for those, Father God, just even more, Father God, to desire to, Lord, know your word and to let your word, Father God, rule and reign in our lives. So we thank you. Just have your way with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just want to invite you to continue to spend this time in your personal time with the Lord.